So today we're talking about the 12 days of Christmas. How many of you are familiar with the song, the 12 days of Christmas? I'm going to start with this scripture, and then we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 3. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be put upon your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Yes. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Now, why are we using this scripture this morning? We say these kind of things pretty often, but one of the responsibilities of parents is to teach their children about the Lord. It's part of the Great Commission. Now, if you're like me, you know, many people in this area, you know, at some point at least, either are Catholic or were Catholic, maybe not everybody, but you know, again, Pastor Cindy and I were talking about this the other day. If there's one thing that the Roman Catholic Church does right, it's that they understand that you've got to reach the children and impart things into the children. And their philosophy is that if you can get a hold of them when they're really, really young and really impart to them, then you have them for life. Okay? Now, that shouldn't just be the motto of the Roman Catholic Church. Right? That should be the motto of any Bible-believing Christian, that these things should be imparted to our children. And so there was a way that this was done in a time that really where Christians were under persecution. And there was a time where they said, we know what we need to do. We need to make sure our kids understand the basic tenets of the faith and so on and so forth. And they found a really sneaky way to do it. And it's a song called The 12 Days of Christmas. And so understand that this is also part of the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19 says, Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I know this is the first time y'all have seen them in a while, but Isa is from Brazil, and she was sharing something with me that I thought was interesting, because growing up, they didn't celebrate Christmas the way we do here. Her father is a pastor, and a very wonderful pastor, great pastor. But he said, growing up, she was always told, why do all these people want gifts for themselves? It's not our birthday, it's his birthday, you know. So he had this really strong conviction about this. And his fear was that because he knows the nature, the human nature of people, we very, very easily make it all about us. But Christmas isn't about us. Christmas is about him. Amen. And so, again, we are commanded through the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations. But how are we supposed to do that when we're not even making disciples of our own kids that God puts in our own home? So it's believed by, again, many in England that this song was written to help children remember some things that they needed to learn to be obedient Christians, to have a good foundation in their Christianity, and to be good members of the church. And so a lot of times people hear that song and they have no idea what it's really all about. And they just believe it's a silly song about things given by my true love. And they have no idea who my true love really is. But the true love in this song is actually speaking of God and his love. And each of the 12 days represented an important biblical truth or a passage of scripture that the children were to learn. And so the 12 days actually come after Christmas. That's what's traditionally known as the 12 days of Christmas, from Christmas Day to what's called the Epiphany. And some believe that that's when the wise men or the magi actually showed up to bring the gifts to Jesus. Now, I don't know that I believe that. I believe he was closer to about 2 years old before they showed up. But either way, that was the idea. And so let's look at each one of these one by one. And we're going to start with number 12. And so on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming. I'll be honest with you, that doesn't sound like a great gift, especially if you're looking for a little peace, right? But the 12, what this was really about was the 12 essential beliefs found in the Apostles' Creed. And so this is what the Apostles' Creed is. Anybody ever hear of the Apostles' Creed? Anybody know what the Apostles' Creed is? These are core beliefs that are part of the church, or supposed to be, that really our children should know. And so, number one is I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Number two, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Number three, I believe he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Number four, I believe he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and he descended into hell. And of course, that word hell there actually means the grave. But we also understand that he went and took the keys of authority away from Satan himself, right? I believe that on number five, I believe that on the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe he will come again to judge the living and the dead. That was number six. Number seven, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Number eight, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now, don't get your bowels all in uproar on that one. The word Catholic simply means universal. Okay? It's the church in the world. Number nine, I believe in the communion, which means common unity of the saints, which are Christians. Number 10, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Somebody ought to say, thank God for that one. Number 11, I believe in the resurrection of the body. Yeah, one day this body's going to resurrect. I'm so amazed because I think about the fact that whether it was somebody who burned to death, somebody, and this is, sounds kind of crazy, but somebody who fell out of a boat in the ocean and got eaten by sharks or whatever, at some point in time, God's going to pull all that DNA back together. He's going to pull every bit of it back together, and he is going to raise that body up, and he's going to make it brand new and indestructible. I love the fact that Abraham, when he went, when God told him to go take Isaac up on that mountain and sacrifice him, understand that this was a burnt offering. And the Bible says Abraham believed that because God had given him a promise that even if he had burned that boy to ashes, God would have put them ashes back together and raised him up, because he said, me and my boy are coming off this mountain. And then number 12, I believe in life everlasting. How many of you believe those are good things our kids ought to know? Amen. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 pipers piping. Now, this, by the way, is the 11 faithful apostles or disciples. So, who were those 11? Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James Bar-Alpheus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Bar-James. And you find all that in Luke chapter 6, verse 14 through 16. But those were the 11 faithful apostles. And of course, this list doesn't include the 12th disciple, which is known as Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus to the Romans. On the 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 lords a-leaping. When you're looking at this song just on the surface, it looks really like a lot of chaos is what it looks like to me. But and this is about the 10 commandments, the 10 lords a-leaping. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 17. You guys know, we believe wholeheartedly your kids ought to know the commandments, right? But here are the commandments as it's stated in the Bible. You shall have no other gods before me. Verse 2, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandment. What I love about that part of the scripture is that understand that the punishment comes simply because God allows people to do what they want to do. And children suffer for the sins of their parents because their parents teach their children the same sins, and those children magnify those out, and then they get the wages of those sins. But I love what God said, because it's not that God's looking to punish people. Notice what he says. So that's to the third and fourth generation. But he said that he wants to show love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. And why does he want us to keep his commands? Well, as we've said many times, what would the world be like if everybody actually did it God's way? If everybody actually kept God's commands, what would the world be like? It would be a wonderful, wonderful place. And he goes on to say, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant nor maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. And it's not talking about little people from outer space. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Now, I've taught on all these things. I don't have time to go into all the details on these, although I'm very tempted to, but I'm not going to do that. But we do honor God's Sabbath. And then on this fifth one, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long and in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And isn't that beautiful? Man, parents, you ought to want to teach that to your kids, right? Because you want your kids to have a good life. So if you teach them to honor you in the right way, then the Bible says that they may have a long life and live in the land. Do I see a promise that God is going to provide land for his people? In the land the Lord your God is giving you. Number six, you shall not murder. Not even in your heart, by the way. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Not even in your heart, by the way. You shall not steal. Number eight. Number nine, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Number 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So again, this is what was being taught. Now, this song, literally, as you can imagine, wouldn't be taught in just a moment. This is something parents would actually have to go over and over and over again with their kids for them to be able to grasp everything that the song is actually meant to teach. All right, on the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 9 ladies dancing. Now, unfortunately, there are some men in this world who wouldn't mind that at all. They ought to be ashamed of themselves if they want 9 ladies dancing. But there are a lot of people just actually totally missed the point of this. But what this is really about is the 9 fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 through 23. And by the way, this is, when we say the fruit of the Spirit, this is the character of the Spirit that he wants you and me to have in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then it says, against such things there is no law. Isn't it wonderful that God actually gives us an opportunity to live life in a way where we don't have to fear the law and we don't have to fear the consequences of the law? If we allow the Holy Spirit to rule in our life, this is what it will look like. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8 maids a-milking. Now, in this economy, some of y'all probably wouldn't mind that. Free milk. Hey. But this stands for the 8 Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 through 10 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this is not talking about poor people. It's talking about those who are poor in spirit, those who are not haughty or arrogant, those who recognize their bankruptcy and their need for a Savior. Number 2, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. I want you to know that is the absolute first scripture I ever memorized right there. I'll never forget the first time going into little Sunday school class at Lake Charles Revival Center. Sister Becky Holton was teaching, and that was the scripture memory. It was the very first scripture verse I ever memorized, and I never forgot it. It really stuck with me. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And number 8, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 7 swans a-swimming. This stands for the seven motivational gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to His people for service. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8 is where it's found. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Now, this is different from the spiritual gifts that we taught on several Wednesday nights ago, dealing with things like faith and healing and miracles and those kind of things. But these are gifts that God uses, that He gives to His people so that they can serve Him. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. In this context, this is really just meaning someone who's bold enough to speak out about the truth, and they're able to do that, because I want you to understand that the greatest fear of most people, the number one greatest fear of most people is public speaking or speaking to people. So prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, then let him serve. If it's teaching, then let him teach. If it's encouraging, then let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, then let him contribute, give generously. If it is leadership, then let him govern diligently. And if it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. All of these things, by the way, it doesn't take long when you're around people. It doesn't take long to kind of figure out what God has gifted them with. I know people that just, it's so obvious that they're givers. That's what they do, and it just comes natural to them. And those kind of people, typically, I've noticed in their life that money comes easy to them. There are other people who will just get in there and serve. When nobody else is serving, they're going to jump in there and do it. If there's dishes to wash, they're going to jump in there and wash them. If there's something that needs to be done, something, they're just going to get in there and do it. Nobody even has to ask many times, right? It's just part of their motivation. Teaching comes very easy to some people, and encouraging. Anybody know anybody that you get around them and you just can't help it? When you leave their presence, you just feel encouraged. Anybody know anybody like that? Thank God I've got friends like that. Brother Mike Davis is one of those guys. I mean, I get around Brother Mike Davis and he makes you just feel like you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, that's just the kind of guy he is. So all of these things are wonderful, wonderful gifts from the Holy Spirit. Don't take credit for them. Give the credit to the Lord. But walk in and use the gifting that He gave you. Also, on the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying. And this stands for the 6 days of creation that confesses God as creator and the sustainer of the world. Thank God that while we were just a thought in His mind, He said, you know, I'm going to create something beautiful, and I'm going to create mankind, and I'm going to put them in this beautiful creation. Now, I don't know what you believe, but I believe literally that God made us the center of the universe, that this earth is here in the perfect spot. Any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. Any further away, we'd freeze. And it is the perfect place in the universe. And God chose to put you and me here. And all of the rest of the universe swirls around and does whatever it does. Billions and billions of galaxies with billions and billions of stars. And God put that out there just for you and me. Why? Because when we were just a thought in His mind, He loved us. And He said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something wonderful for them. So the six geese lay in the 6 days of creation. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five golden rings. So this represents actually the first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Torah or the Pentateuch. Those five books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And those books give us the history of humanity's sinful failure and God's response of grace in the creation of a people to be a light in the world. And so, by the way, in the Jewish culture, by the time a child is 12 years old, they were actually, and whether they're still doing this, I don't know, but they actually were supposed to memorize literally the whole Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So don't ever think your kids can't do those things. Amen. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four birds a-calling. These are actually collie birds, and which is a black bird common to England. Those four birds a-calling actually represent the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And those four Gospels proclaim the good news of God's reconciliation to the world, to himself through Jesus Christ. They proclaim what we're celebrating today, the birth of Christ. In detail, they proclaim what Jesus taught and told his disciples to teach mankind. They taught the kingdom, what the kingdom of God is like. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 talks about this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Amen. I'll never forget talking about the four Gospels. And I realize that's why I'm teaching along these lines even right now on Sundays. And we'll get back to that after the Christmas season. But teaching about those things that Jesus taught to his disciples and how to make disciples. And think about that. It's the Gospels, the four Gospels, where all of those commands and all of those things and teachings came from. And a person who can grab a hold of those things, their life will be changed forever. All right. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens. Now, understand, this ain't three old Cajun ladies. Just know that. This is the three immovable pillars of the Christian life. We find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So the three French hens represent faith, hope, and love. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves. Now, this represents the Old and the New Testament, or the other word for testament is actually covenant. So it represents the Old and New Testament, or the Old and New Covenants, which together bear witness to God's self-revelation in history and the creation of a people to tell the story of God to the world. And by the way, this is very important because we live in a day where, unfortunately, many people completely discount the Old Testament and don't bother with it because they say, oh, that's that old law. We don't need that old thing anymore. It doesn't have anything to do with us. Well, I believe wholeheartedly and have taught that until the old law does what it has to do in your life, the new law or covenant can't do what it needs to do in your life. Until the old law breaks me, the new law can't make me alive. Amen. That's why I believe it's very important for us to be confronted by what God said in the Old Testament. People say, I don't like reading Old Testament because, man, there's some crazy stuff in there. Yes, there is. I don't like reading the Old Testament because, man, that thing's violent and everything else. Yes, there's a lot of violent stuff and a lot of terrible stuff. But what you really need to understand out of that is this is what happens when people indulge in sin. This is what comes upon the world. And then there is judgment. And so there's a lot of judgment pronounced and all of that. But understand that all of that judgment that was pronounced, it had to come to be, but God had a plan from the very beginning where he said, yeah, all this judgment has to happen, but it's all going to fall upon my own son. He's going to take the wages of all of your sin so that you can have eternal life. Now, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18 through 22 says, the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, which is absolutely true. You can't be saved by trying to keep the law. It's impossible, right? And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Now he's talking about Jesus. In verse 22, because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, when it says better covenant, what it's talking about is this is the covenant that can actually bring you to life. So the problem is if we don't recognize our need for that life, our need for the Savior that we're celebrating today, then we won't receive him. And many, many in the world, billions in the world, have never received Christ as their Savior because they don't even really understand their need for him. And now we get to on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. I used to wonder, why a partridge? I mean, I always think about the Partridge Family. Remember that show? And that little bird kind of running across the screen, you know, with the colors, the different colors. But a partridge in a pear tree. Well, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the partridge in the pear tree represents Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hebrews 7, 18 through 28. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely. Everybody say completely. You know what that means? Spirit, soul, and body. That means nothing gets left out. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Man, what a beautiful sight that Jesus himself, even now, is interceding for us. Verse 26, such a great high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other priest or other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, whom has been made perfect forever. Thank God. And because of his perfection forever, that sacrifice is perpetually made good for us. Amen. That's why, thank God, though we shouldn't sin, the Bible says if we do, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer that works for us. And the moment we come to repentance, that thing is wiped away just like any other sin that we've ever committed. Now, in this song, Christ is symbolically presented as a mother partridge, which is known to willingly, and this is amazing to me, this mother partridge is willing to face injury or even sacrifice her life in order to draw a predator away and protect her young. Why a partridge? Because that's the kind of character we see in Christ. A partridge is also a bird that stays on the ground, not a showy, majestic bird of flight that everyone looks at with awe. You know, we look at the eagle when soaring with all its awe and all, but it's the partridge that represents Jesus. The Bible says, it tells us in Isaiah chapter 52 that he was not a man that people would look up to in a physical sense. He was not a beautiful human being. No, no, he was like us. He wasn't the perfect physical specimen. No, he was one of us, and he came to take our place. So Isaiah foretold about the Messiah that he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Another interesting thing about the partridge is that you will never find one in a tree. Now hear me. The song says a partridge in a pear tree. The partridge stays on the ground. You will never find a partridge in a tree. Some have suggested that somehow over the years the partridge must have replaced the original bird in the song because it didn't make sense. But that's the point of the song. You would never find a partridge on a tree. But you would also never find a king or a savior on a tree because it ain't natural. The partridge did not belong on that tree, just like Jesus did not belong on the tree we call the cross. But just like that partridge, Jesus took the brunt of Satan's attack on humanity, all of the wages of sin upon himself, and he sacrificed himself for us. And it's no accident that the 12 Days of Christmas song starts and ends with Christ. Jesus lets us know that in the revelation to the Apostle John that he is the Alpha and the Omega, that he is the first and the last, that he is the beginning and the end. And after all, isn't that what Christmas is really all about? on this Christmas day, God. We thank you that we're able to gather together in your presence and exalt you and know you and literally feel your presence in this house today. Father, we thank you for all that you did and all that you teach us and all that you have made available to us, Father. Lord, may we take this next year and may we, with all of our heart, God, go after you. May we go after you with everything we have. And Father, may we take for granted the blessings and the things that you have given us and put in our lives. Father, I pray, bless your people. May this be the best Christmas ever for each one. Father, and I pray that this coming year would be the absolute greatest, most productive kingdom year for every person here. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.